Greetings, Slidell. This is Bob Riles, your host to the Grace Radio series Voices. This new adventure in programming for Grace Radio focuses on the voices of our neighbors here in Slidell about matters of community interest. Our program today features a recent speaker. Hope you enjoy it. Greetings, Slidell. This is Bob Riles, your host to the Grace Radio series Voices. This adventure in programming for Grace Radio features the voices of our neighbors here in Slidell about matters of community interest. And our guest today is Mr. Jim Fattick. Jim holds a number of roles in the community, both volunteer and paid. And we wanted to meet him and talk with him today. He's the director of North Shore Disaster Recovery Incorporated, and he's a lead member of the faith-based liaison team for the Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness for St. Tammany Parish. Lots of hats, lots of important hats. So welcome, Jim. Glad you're here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Bob.
I want to talk to you a little bit about your work in the community and what you do and some of the needs that your work might have that would be of interest to the people in our community. And by the way, before we get started, I understand that you received a pretty neat award last week. Tell me about that.
Yeah, well, thank you, sir. Yeah, I was blessed to have received the Outstanding Civic Leader Award for St. Tammany Parish from the Alliance for Good Government.
That's
quite an honor. I'm humbled and honored.
That's pretty impressive. That's pretty impressive. Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
You've done a lot of work in the community, some of it absolutely thankless. Sure, some of it's been very rewarding. But tell us a little bit about what disaster recovery is and how you approach it.
It all started with Hurricane Katrina with natural disasters, but these days we're finding for a lot of people life is just kind of a disaster. So I'll tell you a little bit about North Shore Disaster Recovery quickly. It was created after Katrina to be the long-term recovery organization for St. Tammany Parish, and the primary role of that position was to bring together all of the organizations and entities that are involved in disaster recovery and just try to create some synergy, some collaboration. So that's my primary role, but kind of a spinoff of North Shore Disaster Recovery, the NDRI organization, is the Epworth Project. Epworth Project is a volunteer management organization, and we bring in volunteers, recruit, and solicit volunteerism from all around the country and all around the world. And at this point, we're coming up on 64,000 volunteers from all 50 states and 43 countries around the world. And they've put in 2.6 million labor hours to help rebuild more than 3,300 homes. So we've been busy.
That's pretty impressive numbers you're telling me about here. How many man hours?
2.6 million.
You put a dollar value on that, that's pretty substantial.
It's a big paycheck for somebody. Unluckily, it's volunteerism, so there's not a whole bunch of a paycheck that goes to it, but a lot of great people that just needed help or had given up hope that anybody out there cared were blessed by a lot of godly people who could have done something else with their vacation week, and they chose to spend it in Slidell.
Well, that's pretty awesome. What kind of disaster recovery? What does that mean?
Well, over the years, it's kind of evolved because we had Katrina, and then 2 weeks later, there was Rita, and then we had Hurricane, I'll miss several, I'm sure, Hurricane Ike, Hurricane Gustav, Hurricane Isaac, the BP oil spill, a whole bunch of unnamed or numbered storms, had floods in 2016. I think we had 9 tornadoes in 2017. Yeah, I'm losing track, but we've had a lot of natural disaster in this area. But the people that we're helping out predominantly right now are people that just been kicked in the teeth again and again. It's in most cases people that are living in long-term poverty. Also in most cases it's elderly, disabled, single parents, veterans, people with long-term illnesses, other people that are having issues with their home. In many cases it's, I don't want to say subhuman, but it's not what you would consider really livable conditions. It's people that are falling through their floors or having their ceilings fall on them. There was a lady that we helped out not long ago that the entire back wall of her house just fell off. And it was because she had a roof leak that she couldn't afford to fix. Little by little, the house deteriorated more and more until the structure of the home had just completely dilapidated. The home was falling apart around her. I have 1,000 stories, but we don't have time for that. But that's who we're helping out. We have a logo that says we're serving the least, the last, and the lost.
Oh, wow.
I like the sentiment, but I don't like the logo. You know, when you show up at somebody's house, do you ask them, okay, which of these categories do you fit into,
oh, wow.
Mrs. Smith?
Yeah.
Or do you consider yourself the least, the last, or the lost?
Well, you go out with great love and compassion, and you're fixing things that are broken. You're bringing hope to people who have possibly lost hope, trying to make Slidell and St. Tammany Parish, I guess, and even beyond, a better place to live.
Yeah, I always tell our volunteers that we kind of tricked them into being here. They think that they're coming to work on construction, but they're really here for people. They're here to re-spark hope. I know what it's like whenever you're just kind of down and out. I always tell our people that poverty isn't a financial condition. You think it is, but it might have started with a lack of money. But what we find is that it becomes desperation and hopelessness and worthlessness. And in a lot of cases, it manifests itself in fear and in anger and shame and guilt, all kinds of other. It becomes an emotional and a spiritual condition. And that's what we deal with, and that's what we're here for.
Well, it's really, it's the gospel in action.
Indeed.
I mean, it's taking people who, from churches all over the country, all over the world, and who've come here to our community to do work as though they were doing it for Christ himself.
Yes, sir.
And these incredible number of man hours invested in Slidell have just been a real demonstration of the importance and the strength of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
God is good all the time.
Amen. Amen. Well, you've well established yourself in this area for, 14, 15 years now since the recovery from Katrina and then all of the other events that you mentioned. It goes forward from here. Where are we looking at as far as what's next?
Well, I have two things. We're continuing to develop the volunteerism and recruiting people. I actually have the longest waiting list of homeowners in need that we've had since Hurricane Katrina.
Really?
Because the biggest challenge that we face right now, not having natural disaster, is that volunteers are going to those disaster sites. They're going to Florida and Puerto Rico, the Carolinas and Texas. We've got flooding up and down the Mississippi Valley. So with those volunteers go donations and grant monies and other things that have historically come to southeastern Louisiana and now are going elsewhere. So we're struggling to find the resources to go and help people. On top of that, though, I think it would be naive to think that Slidell and the southeastern Louisiana area have seen the last of their disasters. So I'm working with a great team of people to try to put together the parts to man a faith-based liaison position working with the Emergency Operations Center. I'm part of the Emergency Operations Center faith-based liaison development team, and we'll jump into action in the event of disaster to go and try to create communication between faith-based organizations and collaboration, coordination, a united front from the church rather than a bunch of disparate efforts by a wide variety of people.
The Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness activates your position. So this is not something where you decide, we had a heavy rain yesterday, so let's do something.
Yeah, that's
but
correct.
We're actually activated and dependent upon by parish government to fill a specific need as regards the churches.
Yeah, the Emergency Operations Center is actually a group of several dozen different sectors. Everything from the Sheriff's Department, Fire Department, to utilities with CLECO and Atmos and others, hospitals, a lot of different organizations. Of all the people that sit in that bunker in the event of a disaster, the only positions that are unfunded are the faith-based liaison positions. So we've been working to try to get the support of local government, and we'll be working with corporations and churches to try to find the funding to empower a position where we can have an ongoing, full-time, faith-based liaison to provide that synergy, the collaboration and cooperation of the churches.
Well, this is not one of those things when a storm comes into the Gulf and it looks like it's coming our way, that all of a sudden you pick up your phone and start calling people for help.
Yeah, if you wait until the storm comes, you're in trouble. Because at that point, you may or may not have phones.
So there's a whole lot of coordination ahead of time. There's a whole lot of resource gathering and disaster planning with churches and things like that really facilitate when the call comes, we'll be ready.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. Yeah, it depends on who you talk to, but there are somewhere between 225 and 400 different churches and faith-based organizations in St. Tammany Parish alone. And it's been my experience that churches don't play well together. So it's a sad thing to say, but the body of Christ is not as united as it should be in our outreach to people in need.
So the faith-based liaison is that spark of energy that kind of brings things together so that churches can cooperate without having lost any of their identity or any of their resources or any of their input into the community. Rather, they can continue to be who they are, but the faith-based liaison team helps them to do a more effective job, really. Huh?
Yeah, and one thing that I'd like to emphasize is it's not a leadership position where the faith-based liaison team will come in and tell churches and church groups what to do. Instead, it's a communications position. It just needs to collect who's doing what and where. Because what we found in the past is that we'll have volunteers that come in from Wisconsin or wherever, and they go and they muck and gut homes that were flooded. And a week and a half later, you have another group from Minnesota that comes in, and you send them over to muck and gut homes just to find out that somebody, some other organization has come and already taken care of it. So it's good to know what organizations are doing where and when, just so that you don't have the duplication of effort. And also just to make sure that everybody that needs help is going to receive help, so the efforts aren't all focused or concentrated in one particular area. On top of that, it helps to create synergy where you have different church groups and faith-based organizations that are sharing their materials, sharing their volunteers, everything from shingles to food. If you have somebody that has things they want to put to work, what better way than to work with other church groups and find the best use?
Absolutely. The cooperation with the parish government seems to me be a key issue. This puts us in contact with every other agency in the parish, with CLECO and Washington St. Tammany and Atmos, as well as the sheriff's office, the coroner's office. All of those people are involved in the emergency operations center. And to be working with them really gives us a leg up instead of trying to figure out from Slidell what's going on. We're right in the middle of the serious governmental planning to make things happen as they should.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great relationship builder and a good way to have church outreach into the government. I've found a lot of great contacts that we're able to bring into the church world just through our regular interaction.
Well, I know there's been many, many accolades, including resolutions from cities and governmental bodies, the parish, that tell us we're doing something that needs to be done, that we're making a difference. I've heard it said just in the news that if the churches had not done what we did after Katrina, even without this cooperative leadership, we wouldn't have recovered nearly as well as we did.
Yeah, the faith-based community in this area is phenomenal. I think that if Katrina had a silver lining, it was the result of bringing together not just the region, but the country, and in some cases the world, and the churches all across the country to come and do the work that needed to be done without having to have that governmental involvement. But what we're finding is that we become more and more mutually dependent. And it's hard for church groups to be fully effective if they don't work with the government. And it's hard for the government to do everything that needs to be done, and they rely on churches. It's a truly collaborative and synergistic effort to try to bring a company back from its knees. Not that on its knees is the worst place to be.
Well put, Jim. Well put. As we go forward from here, is this something that the faith-based liaison team, how big is that team? Who's on the team? What kind of people do you need on the team? Or are you fully staffed and have everything you need already in place?
Well, there are a lot of organizations that need to be involved. We had, like I said a few moments ago, literally hundreds of different organizations to pull together. And it's an ongoing effort to maintain a database of what churches are currently active and where, what's the best phone number, who's the contact person. It continues to change and evolve throughout the year and will continue to do so. And that becomes a full-time job all by itself. In the event of a disaster, it's going to take a team of people involved in trying to reach out to all those different organizations and find out who's doing what and where. So it's going to have to be a group effort. And to that end, it's going to have to be a team of at least half a dozen or more and potentially a dozen or more. And I think a lot of it will really depend on how much volunteerism we find and how much funding we get. I know that we will need to have a full-time staff. Basics, if nothing else, but somebody that can work a 40-hour week in the office and help with administrative duties and everything from filing and data input to answering the phones. In the event of a disaster, we have two seats in the Emergency Operations Center that need to be filled. And that's a telephone and internet-based clearinghouse for all things faith-based. And it can be two ways, either church groups that are calling up to say, hey, we have this need, can somebody help? Or the government turning around to the faith-based community and saying, hey, we have this need, is there anybody that can help? If we don't have that kind of staffing, if we're not able to fill those two chairs, then the phone rings and nobody answers.
So those two people, during an activation where the faith-based community has been activated, will actually be up in that room with all of the other organizations in the parish, all the governmental and utility organizations. They'll be in the same room helping to address the needs from the parish level and communicating them down to the field people
It happen. And it's not just physical needs. It's not just fire department calling up and saying, hey, do you have somebody that can come and clear this debris? It is also the spiritual needs of the community. It's when you have people that need prayer, that need some spiritual comfort. Disasters are bad. We've been through it. And sometimes you just need somebody to talk to. It's great to have somebody that's on standby and right there in the room that's available to talk through things with homeowners or local residents that were impacted.
Well, it sounds like just an amazing interface, if you will. But can I call it an interface between governmental agencies and the faith-based community assisting each other? As you go forward, where are you right now in the process? What's the hot button? What are we trying to do?
Well, right now we've been working with local government, with municipalities and the parish to pass resolutions in support of the faith-based community in general, and then more specifically for this faith-based liaison position, and recognizing not only the validity and the importance of the position, but also the need for financial support. Although it's just a resolution, it's not funding, it is a key piece in building credibility so that we can go out to the corporations and churches all around the area and say, look, we've got the parish behind us and Slidell behind us and Covington behind us and whoever else. So it's not just Jim and Bob walking up saying, hey, you want to write us a check? So I think that credibility building is where we are right now. And I'm so thankful for the many governmental entities, the elected officials in our area that have participated in helping to push through resolutions and help to refine something that's workable for our government as well as for the faith-based world.
Where do you expect your financial support to come from? Is this individuals writing checks, or is it strictly from churches, or we're going to go out further into the community to businesses? So what's your vision? Where do you think it's going to happen?
I think it's going to be a broad-based need. To make the long story short, I would say yes, yes, and yes.
Okay.
we're going to look for individuals that want to support us. We're going to look for churches that can make a regular contribution, because part of it is we need to get off our feet. If we want to get it off the ground, we're going to need to have some, for lack of a better term, some seed money. But it's going to take ongoing support. And we're not looking for tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars from every organization out there, but $50 here and $100 there. If indeed we do have 250 different churches across St. Tammany Parish and each one provides $100 a month, then we're well on our way.
So, and of course, this is not only for salaries. I mean, we've got to have trucks and,
absolutely,
and sleeping facilities and things like that when these volunteers show up. So, I mean, there's a whole lot of moving pieces to this thing.
Yeah, there is an enormous overhead cost to not just staff, but maintain disaster response and recovery facilities. And we're going to need the help of the entire community. So we'll be going to churches. We'll be going to individuals. Also, we'll be going to area employers, to the corporations around this area or the corporations outside of this area that have employees that live in this area, and asking the question, have you appreciated having the involvement of the faith-based community to help your employees after disaster? And if the answer to that is yes, then the next question will be, would you like to support us?
Exactly. Well, it sounds like an incredible work.
To God be the glory, brother.
Amen. Amen. It takes money to do it, but, you know, even more important than the money is it takes heart to do it. I don't think there's enough money in the world to pay somebody to do all that you and the volunteers and those who have worked with you to do the work. If there's not a call in our hearts to make it happen and a selfless determination to see other people get better, all the money in the world is not going to help. And I think we have some of those full-hearted people who have made the commitment to serve Christ in this way.
At the end of the 12th chapter of Mark, Jesus and his disciples are sitting around the temple. They see this little old lady that comes up and puts her last two shekels in the offering plate. Jesus points out that not only did she give out of her poverty, but that the right thing to do is to give everything. She gave everything. Others were giving from their abundance. She gave from her poverty. The message wasn't go and be poor and then give up your last two shekels. The message was that as a believer, you should be willing to give up everything. As a matter of fact, you should give up everything. And I've tried to start living life that way. You know, I'm wearing God's shirt today. He's going to let me continue to wear it. I'm driving his truck and wearing his shoes and living in his house.
Amen.
It's all the Lord's. When you have that kind of a view of life, it makes the nonprofit world a lot more, I don't want to say palatable, but it makes it a lot easier. Because I don't have to worry about how the ministry is going to survive, how we're going to grow and prosper. Not my problem, it's God's ministry.
Amen, amen. Well, Jim, it's certainly been a pleasure to talk with you today. Is there anything that you'd like to add from your heart to what we've already discussed?
Well, right offhand, I just would like to thank those out there that will be contributing. I would like to thank everybody for their prayers as well. If you don't make a financial contribution, we accept prayer. You know, I think that it's just such an honor and a blessing to have the opportunity to spend my vocational life, my professional life, in helping people that are in need, because I think that that's where we're supposed to be.
Amen.
And I just feel, I don't want to say lucky because it's such a secular term, but I'm blessed.
Amen. Jim, how do people find you? Do you have a phone number or an email address? For those who wish to make contributions, I believe NDRI is a nonprofit organization that you can make charitable donations to that qualify for deductions.
Yeah, tax deductions? Yes, sir. If somebody is interested in making a contribution to the cause, we take checks, can send them to North Shore Disaster Recovery. Actually, I'll give you the website as well, but you can drop checks at Aldersgate United Methodist Church in Slidell. It's just off of Robert Road. Or you can mail it to 360-360 Robert Boulevard in Slidell, Louisiana. And the zip is 70458. Or give us a call, phone number 985-781-7990. That's 985-781-7990.
Well, Jim, you've certainly given us a worthy challenge today, seeing your life and what you do and the recognition from city government and parish government and from the and recognition from the Alliance of Good Government as a leading citizen for last year and making things happen. You certainly presented a challenge for all of us to do better and to do a part of making our community an even better place than it is. So thank you, and we appreciate the time you've given us today.
Well, thank you for this opportunity, Bob.
And thank you, Slidell, for tuning in to Voices here on Grace Radio. We want to hear from you. You can give us a call now at 985-250-1037. Leave a comment, send us a text. And if Jim said something today, or if you need more information than we were able to put out today, give me a call at that phone number, 985-250-1037. We'd encourage you to like us on Facebook, Grace Radio Slidell. Also, you can go to our website, www.graceradioslidell.net. There you can make tax-deductible donations to support the station. We very much appreciate the support so we can stay on the air. Today's programming has been hosted by myself, Bob Riles, and produced by Don Morales, your Grace Radio Voices team. Hope you enjoyed it. Well, that's it for now. Join us again for Voices of Slidell Daily at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. and get in the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.